The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So apparently first-time buyers are increasingly buying properties outside their own counties. That's really the case, particularly for Dublin, because apparently Dublin borrowers have accounted for more than 40% of all first-time buyer mortgages in Kildare, Wicklow and Meath over the last year. This is a report that's been done by the Bankings and Payments Federation Ireland. We're joined by its chief economist, Ali Uhr. Thank you very much for joining us, Ali. So tell us about your findings, please.
If you regularly publish mortgage data on an approval and drawdown basis, approvals on a monthly, drawdowns on a quarterly, but twice a year we publish a much detailed report, and this is the second one which relates to the second half of 2023, and it gets into more detail such as the regional movements, and that's the results of today's report.
Okay, so you were able to assess, are you, when people, where they're living when they apply and draw down the mortgage and where they move to use the mortgage?
Exactly, we have their, in our data set, we will have their current address in a way, and then the address of the property that they're going to withdraw, or that they would have withdrawn.
This is going back to Celtic Tiger years, isn't it? Back in the boom before 2008, when it seemed that everybody in the cities who wanted to buy a house would have to move 50, 100 kilometres to do so.
That was the sort of anecdotal evidence, but I think for the first time we were able to provide some data in terms of the percentages, I think, which presents quite interesting results.
Okay, and how well is this working out? I mean, then, is this pushing up house prices in the likes of Kildare, Wicklow and Meath when you have this competition to the locals coming from people from Dublin?
I think the activity in those in the regions, in the counties that you mentioned, have increased significantly. When you look at those, they nearly account for around one-third of the total output last year. So there is significant activity there, and I think perhaps the potential buyers are seeing better value in those counties compared to Dublin, average prices.
Yeah, how much cheaper might housing and apartments be in those counties?
I mean, they differ, but if you can look at, for example, in the nationally, the figures are showing that it's around 400,000, for example, for Dublin. But if you were to move out, it can go down to around 300,000, 320,000.
Which I'm sure the environmentalists won't be particularly happy to hear as well, because that implies that for many people it's going to be commuting and they're going to be using cars possibly rather than using public transport.
That's a factor, but at the same time, I think our report highlights the fact that with the availability of remote working, people do not necessarily have to travel. So the most recent Eurostat data shows that Ireland has about 1 in 5 workers are able to work usually from their home. And I think we had the largest increase in the EU when you compare prior to the pandemic. So it was around 5% of the workforce was able to work from home at that time. Now it's nearly 1 in 5 workers.
Okay, Marion Finnegan is as well, Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald Residential. Tell us, Marion, what do you reckon of these figures? What should we take from them?
I think, as you said at the outset there, Matt, we're really seeing trends that were evident during the Celtic Tiger re-emerge now. And I suppose it's not surprising. We have a very strong economy. We've got very significant demographic pressures and we're building nothing like enough houses. So last year we built 32,000 to 34,000 houses, but we only sold about 10,000 of them into the private sector. So even though we're supplying too little, we're actually selling only a fraction of what we're actually building. So people have their choice by that very nature is incredibly limited. So they will go where the houses are being built and invariably go where they can afford. So we're seeing people moving outside there, perhaps the county that they grew up in, to buy a home in an adjoining area where the homes are being built in the first instance and where they're more affordable in the second instance.
Okay, but are Meath, Kildare and Wicklow in particular, which may be the popular counties for people from Dublin, capable of building enough supply? Because I thought they were inhibited by the 2022 to 28 county development plans in all cases.
And there's definitely a challenge there. What we've seen over the last 5 years or so, that the Mideast, as you said, Kildare, Wicklow and Meath, are seeing a higher proportion of construction activity than many other counties in the state. But there is obviously a finite level to how far they can go. So what we need to look at now is what are the ingredients we need to continue to deliver the supply. We know we need to deliver almost double what we're doing now, and that will require obviously a review of where that land is zoned and what those counties are capable of delivering, and also a review of the rest of the country, because while we are building very little, the locations that we're building them in are very much in the Mideast and a little bit in Cork, Limerick and Galway, but much of the rest of the country is having very, very little development, and that's simply not sustainable.
Yeah, and I wonder how many people are moving reluctantly, that even if they're getting a better price than they would get in their chosen location, that particularly in Dublin, there simply isn't anything for them to buy, so they have to move somewhere else, even if they don't necessarily want to.
And that has to be a factor, because your gut will tell you that most people will probably choose to buy a home close to where they work or where they originally lived. That's sort of your gut instinct. So if people are not doing that, then there's probably a sense that they're making a decision, not so much because of choice, but because it's the only option available to them. And as you said at the outset as well, there are environmental impacts, there are societal impacts from this. If you're commuting from these areas to your job for an hour a day, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, that has a huge impact on the quality of your life and on the environment. So we really absolutely need to get to the bottom of this and start putting a national focus on delivery.
But Ali, it also strikes me though that many people in Dublin may not actually be working in the city centre, that they could be working out in the west of the city in Blanchardstown or Clondalkin. They could be out in Cherrywood, they could be up towards the airport, that actually in those circumstances it might be more convenient for them to actually live in places like Meath or Kildare or Wicklow than it necessarily would be to try and find somewhere in Dublin.
It does make perfect sense. For example, if you're working at the airport, you can probably travel from Drogheda much quicker than if you're living in city centre to get to the airport.
Yeah.
So those are definitely factors, yes, definitely.
Okay, but is that encouraged enough, do you think, to people to think like that?
I think with the recent, especially with the encouragement of remote working, if people can, in a way, not full remote working, but even if it's hybrid, rather than travelling, for example, 5 days, if people are allowed to travel maybe 2 days, 3 days, I think that's a factor so that they can get better value out, if they think that they can get better value out of Dublin.
Yeah, Marion, that's the big difference, isn't it, from the Celtic Tiger boom years? Because I remember back in that decade, on many occasions, carrying items with people who said they were commuting for 2 hours each way each day. Sometimes they were down in Westmeath and coming to work in Dublin city centre because they were required 5 days a week in Dublin city centre, which may not be anything like the case now.
Yeah, and that's definitely a much more positive outcome post-COVID, that people have the opportunity not to travel 5 days a week. And I suppose it probably makes this situation not as difficult as it would have been, we'll say, 10 or 15 years ago, but it's still not ideal. So we do have to look at what we need to do to address it in the more long term. I mean, the need, according to the Housing Commission, is for anything but from 50 to 65 plus thousand houses a year. And to deliver that, we have to think about where the greatest demand is going to be and therefore how we can get the input factors in place to allow us to deliver that volume, or else it could become even more critical in the years ahead.
Marion, there are people getting in touch asking, of that, the 35,000 now or the 50 to 60,000 in the future, how many of those break down between houses and apartments, and what's the breakdown between what would be available for people to purchase and what would only be available for them to rent?
So of the units being built today, about one third of them are being available to buy, which is about 10,000. And the vast majority of them, like the very significant majority of them, are houses at this point. The reason for that is that for much of the last decade, apartments simply were not viable to build for single purchase because the cost differential was so great. Now, we have had some government initiatives in place to address that in more recent times, which is helping narrow the gap, but we still have a dominance of housing. In terms of the rental side, PRS did see the delivery of a reasonable volume of rental accommodation over much of the last number of years, but that has significantly slowed. So that is a critical lack of supply in that area.
We had the Governor of the Central Bank, Gabriel McClough, here earlier in the week, Ali, and the ESRI has been critical about the change in the amount that people are allowed to borrow, back up to 4.5 times income. Has that, in your view, impacted on the applications for and the drawdown of mortgages? The increase in that limit, has that meant that there has been an associated surge in applications?
It would have certainly brought a certain cohort of the potential mortgage seekers into the market, because they would have been limited before with the 3.5, but now they're able to borrow 4 times. But I think when you look at the actual data, and I think the governor restated today or yesterday, and he was saying that okay, the average has gone up to 4 times. There are more borrowers now in that range borrowing 4 times. But when you look at allowances, which is the cohort where banks can allow more than 4 times, that has gone down significantly. So we are on average, we might be similar to the Celtic Tiger years, but we don't have the extreme borrowers anyway.
And Marion, we had Mary Lou McDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, in last week, just before the local and European elections, which did not go well for that party. But I was talking to her about housing and her desire to get house prices at 300,000 for new builds. Whether that's achievable or not is one thing. Well, actually, is that achievable? Do you think it would be possible to build new housing in the volumes required for 300,000 per unit on average?
No, absolutely not. If it was possible, people would be doing it. It's, you know, there are so many factors at play that drive up the price or create the price of a home. And simply stating that you'd like them to be at a lower level is not, doesn't mean it's achievable. It, if it was achievable, guaranteed it would have been done before now.
Okay, and but how confident are you that we can actually ramp up to building 50,000 to 60,000 units a year? Where's all the money going to come from?
I think the first thing, we have to be confident because we don't have a choice. If we don't deliver that quantity of homes, we have a huge problem in terms of our employment growth going forward, because we need to be able to accommodate our growing population. In terms of the sources of income, that we are looking at this into a more longer term period, and there will be state involvement, there will be international funding coming into the country, and there will be private investors in the marketplace. So there will be a myriad of solutions. And bear in mind, we've done this before and done it to a much greater extent. In 2006, we delivered 93,000 units. So it's within the capabilities of the country to do it. We have to just plan for that, and okay, it will be delivered.
Marion Finnegan and Sherry Fitzgerald, Residential and Advisory, thank you. And Ali Orr, Chief Economist of the Banking and Payments Federation Ireland, thank you too.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.